T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
What's up, everybody? Wednesday, March 20th here on Sports Talk. Going to be going till 8 o'clock tonight. Saints Hour, we'll call it the 6 o'clock hour. Going to talk to Olusemeki Udo, Saints offensive lineman, at 6:20 after the first break. And then at 6:40, Saints safety Jonathan Abram will join the radio huddle. 7 o'clock hour, going to be getting into a ton of LSU football spring sound. Garrett Nussmeier, Greg Penn, Mason Taylor, and Parrish Shand all spoke today after the Tigers completed another day of spring ball practices. Here at They Have to Say, a lot of excitement it keeps building for the Pelicans. Everyone's talking about the birds of late, and they have their road trip continuing tomorrow night. They'll be in the state of Florida for back-to-back matchups. Tomorrow is... Who is it again?
The Orlando Magic.
Yeah, the Orlando Magic.
And then they had the Miami Heat.
I couldn't think of it. I'm flipping them around. But Orlando Magic, who are almost a mirror image if you look in the standings as the Pelicans right now over in the Eastern Conference. And, of course, the Miami Heat, for whatever reason, just seem to be a thorn in the Pel's side.
I hope they get a rematch with the Heat and just smoke them. I'm so tired of hearing Jimmy Butler talk trash.
Well, that's why that one definitely is going to be a lot of fun, too, because even after the last game, the Pels, you know, and he duked it out, and it came down to a unfortunate ending for the Pels. But Jimmy Butler talking about, hey,
we'll beat him again.
Right, we'll beat him again. So it's like, all right, we'll see what you
I
got.
I hope the Pels smoke him. I hope that's bulletin board material for New Orleans, and I hope they walk into Miami and just kill him. Now, it is on a back-to-back, so hopefully they play well against the Magic, and then you don't have to worry about tired legs for that Miami game. But it's also, you know, a quicker travel, you would say, than some back-to-backs that they've had to deal with on the road this year. Steve, I want to bring this up to you because it just popped up on ESPN. Pete Dammel last week had reported about not only, you know, expansion of the college football playoff, but also reports that maybe the college basketball tournament, the NCAA tournament, could be potentially expanding. And I know a lot of people are against it. Now, what Pete Dammel had originally reported is that the expansion would go to no more than 80 teams. It's currently at 68 right now. Man. So I imagine it would probably be an expanded play-in, like where it's the first four right now, the first four games in the NCAA tournament on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
Maybe it would be a little bit larger of a plan to get into that 64-team field, but that's just my personal speculation.
Right.
John Calipari, the Kentucky head basketball coach, has come out vehemently against a potential expansion of the college basketball NCAA tournament. He said, quote, this via the ESPN article, quote, I hope it stays where it is. You know, I know people get mad. They get mad at the committee. You won't believe this. I've been mad at the committee a few times. But you may be mad because of your seed or where they've shipped you to. But it doesn't matter who the committee is. We're all going to be upset. He goes on to say, quote, this is a business trip for me. And I'll say everybody that's in this thing, I would say they'd say the same thing. Keep it where it is. Don't mess with something that's great. What do you think about that, Steve? Because I agree with Coach Calipari 100%.
I'm with you, too, and I'm not even a fan of the first four playing games. I think they're kind of a waste, and they're teams that are going to be immediately ousted once they get into the field.
Typically, but you have seen a couple first four teams go on a run. I think, you know, it expands the bubble for a few teams, which is why it's interesting. I'm okay with the first four. I just don't think that further expansion is warranted here.
I
think
in
the college football playoff,
they
were saying somewhere around 80, potentially.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
It's a lot. So I was thinking about, you know, the college football playoff expansion. That makes sense. You go from 4 to 12. 12 teams for a playoff is still kind of small, but for football, it makes sense. With the NCAA tournament, a 64 to 68 team field, I think, is perfectly fine. You don't really need to touch it. It's already the biggest event of the sports calendar in college athletics. Leave it where it is. That's what I would say.
We're going to step away real quick, and when we get back, we'll be talking to new Saints offensive lineman Oli Udo right here on WWL Saints Radio. Be right back. All right, Houdat Nation, happy to welcome in a new addition to the Black and Gold. Oli Sumeka Udo joins us, offensive lineman. Happy to have you on the show, and welcome to New Orleans.
Appreciate you for having me.
So I know you had a rough ending, I guess you could say, to last season, only appearing in two games. How's that quad injury doing for you right now? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Just been taking rehab one day at a time. Pretty much ahead of schedule for the upcoming season. Should be out with the guys during OTAs at some point.
Awesome to hear. I know you have some familiarity with this new offensive coaching staff, having spent time in the Minnesota Vikings the past five seasons. Just talk about what you know coming into this offense now.
Just really good marriage of a whole bunch of elements that you like to have in an explosive offense. Good run game, pretty good pass game, play action, and everything in between, honestly. So I'm pretty excited to get to work.
And, yeah, I know Clint Kubiak obviously was the OC in Minnesota for that one season. What do you remember about that year with the Vikings operating with him at the helm?
Pretty smooth operation with just how the offense was called and plays that were called pretty much suited everyone's best strengths. And, just the offense was rolling that year. That's basically what I remember the most. So, yeah, excited.
With Kubiak coming on here, Oli, I want to get your thoughts on another guy that's joined this staff, another one that you have personal experience with, and that's Rick Dennison, who's the offensive line and run game coordinator with the Vikings from 2019 to 2020. He was also a senior offensive advisor in 2021. Now he joins the Saints offensive staff under Kubiak. What can you tell us about Dennison and your relationship with him?
He was our O-line coach, yeah. Like you said, pretty awesome guy, really punctual and likes his guys to know exactly what they're doing, really ingrains the scheme and what the matchups are and everything that in between that week before a game week. So excited to get back on track with him for sure.
Oli, so you got to play a little D-line in college. What was that switch like for you?
Yeah, I did that in high school sophomore year. Yeah, it was interesting. I was pretty big back then. Bigger, way more than I do right now. So basically just the run-stopping guy, and I didn't do great at that. So then they moved me to offensive line, and that worked out pretty well, I would say.
Yeah, and Oli, just to go back to, you know, Dennison and Kubiak, we've talked about connections as being a reason for, you know, team signing players. Would you say that was a reason for your comfortability signing with the Black and Gold, your kind of connection with those two guys plus, you know, other members of the coaching staff?
Yeah, absolutely. Just familiarity and a scheme that I know and is trusted across the league, honestly. Just being able to run that with them is going to be – looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Besides, obviously, visiting with the Vikings, had you had any other experiences here in New Orleans, or are you just getting acclimated now kind of thing?
Yeah, getting acclimated. I walked around downtown for a little bit Tuesday night, but besides that, really – haven't done much, haven't got to see much. Basically going to save that for OTAs to give me something to do and figure out how all that shrimp po' boys and gumbo works around here for sure.
Yeah, definitely. The food is obviously fabulous, and man, the fan base is one of the best, I feel like, in the NFL. I'm probably a little biased, but being in the Superdome, you're going to get a lot of feisty and loud fans. I know you're very accustomed, obviously, to how loud it can get in that Superdome, and playing on the right side of it is going to be a whole different experience for you.
Yeah, for sure.
When you look at the offensive line for this squad, they struggled last year a little bit to protect Derek Carr. You're going into things, obviously, with that mindset of trying to earn a starting spot right off the bat.
Just trying to get in and help the team in any way I can. If that means competing for a starting job, that's what I'm going to do. But as in my past, I feel like just being able to help the team in whatever they ask you to do. So that's basically why I decided to sign, because it's going to be more along the lines of competition, but more along the lines of getting all the guys ready and That could be a starting role. That could be a swing role. That could be a whole bunch of things. And I'm just ready to compete and see where that takes me for sure.
And then, Ole, from 5 years from being drafted in 2019, a sixth-round pick of the Vikings, your 5 years in Minnesota, you played 43 games, 18 games started, but you've also shown versatility, ability to play multiple positions along the offensive line. Talk about that as one of your strengths joining the Black and Gold.
Yeah, I think I started two games at right tackle, which is what I played in college. Started 15 at right guard, and then I think another two at left tackle. So, yeah, just really enjoyed being able to play with the guys over there. I'm excited to get started here and hopefully help this team, you know, do really well in the postseason, regular season. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you talk about that versatility. How tough is it to be able to, you know, master the tackle spot and the guard position and then, you know, being asked to do, the, you know, one or the other? Is it that easy to make the switch?
A lot of things in football aren't easy, I would say, and I think that's one of those things that aren't, but it's not, I guess, the end of the world being asked to do those things. You prefer to just be at, I'm sure, just like if you'd ask anyone, you'd prefer to have that one position and just be good at that. But you can't control when your number's called, honestly, and you just either step up to the plate or you don't. So just being able to do that for Minnesota and hopefully being able to do that for New Orleans is what I look forward to.
I guess versatility is definitely a strength of yours, Ole, but which position along the offensive line do you feel most comfortable playing?
Probably right tackle, just because I've had the most history in my life with it. I played right all throughout college. I played it first year in Minnesota. That's all I played. And then just moving forward, that's the position I probably would say I liked playing the most in my career for sure.
Ole, for you, besides football, what are some things off the field that interest you, that you have hobbies or favorite types of music or movies?
I just watched the second part of Dune. I thought that was a really good movie. Really, hobbies-wise, I just basically play video games, watch movies, go to, like, bowl. I'm not really good at it, but a lot of my friends and families like to do that, so I do that. And just anything, like, basically, I'm not opposed to doing anything fun that anyone suggests that's near me, for sure.
And then introducing yourself to the Hoodat Nation, Ole, I'm going to ask you to give a Hoodat in just a minute. But first and foremost, I want to get your thoughts on what position strengths you have as an offensive lineman and what areas you think you can really help this front for the Black and Gold.
Strengths, I would say, just physicality and a really good run blocker. And I think moving forward, that's definitely something I can help the Black and Gold with for sure.
And then, Ole, as I kind of mentioned earlier, before we let you run, you got to give the fans and listeners a Hoodat.
And so that's just Hoodat right
yes.
there?
Yes.
All right, Hoodat.
There you go. Welcome to the Hoodat Nation, Ole.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate the time for sure, and be seeing you out at those OTAs and soon enough training camp as well. Appreciate the time, and like I said, welcome to the Black and Gold. Be talking to you soon.
Appreciate you guys.
That was Ole Sumeka-Udu. New offensive lineman for the Black and Gold. Be interesting to see where he fits in on this squad. Definitely still in the mix. Andres Pete has not signed anywhere yet. Want to see what happens with him, but haven't heard anything on the rumor front at all. Was supposed to visit with the Tennessee Titans, and we just haven't seen anything. And it was a big piece, obviously, to this O-line just a year ago, and was able to stay healthy. So it's curious to see what his asking price will be. But Udu now a guy that comes in and will vie for a spot in that rotation.
Price has got to be right for Andres. I mean, that's what Deuce had said, and he's 100% right. I will give Ole credit. That's a good take on Dune 2. That's a great movie.
And I told you, I'm still behind. I got to see the first one, but experience the Dune 2 in theaters. From what I've told, it is a magnificent experience.
Fantastic.
You have to see on the big screen.
But I'm also not against very tough, physical-minded big guys, and that's what Oli seems to be. So looking forward to seeing what he can bring the black and gold.
Yes, indeed. We're going to take a break. Be right back with more sports talk right after this here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Before our conversation with Oli Udu of the Saints, we were talking, Charlie, about the NCAA expansion. And actually, a little tease, tomorrow joining us on Sports Talk, LSU women's basketball head coach Kim Mulkey will stop by at 5:20 as the Tigers get ready to begin their title defense. That'll start Friday against Rice. We'll be keeping an eye on that one as well. In action right now in the NCAA play-in games, we've got Grambling trailing Montana State 42-33 at the half. After that matchup will be Colorado versus Boise State. And yeah, getting into this notion of expanding a NCAA tournament field to, they're saying, no more than 80 teams, I just, it screams obviously money grab, but I just feel like you're diluting the product too much. Everybody loves the insanity of March Madness and those Cinderella stories that can potentially have an upset. But for the most part, you see these higher seeded teams coming through.
Yeah, so what you saw from Calipari's comments as well, it's completely correct. Even if you expand it to 80 teams, which is what Dammel from ESPN had reported is in the talks right now, like you're still going to have the teams that don't make the 80-team field complaining that they fell short. Right. Like it's not going
when
to change.
When are you going to stop, right?
Right, it's probably going to add more teams, in fact, that feel like they got slighted and not making the NCAA tournament. And as you mentioned, it's diluting the field. We got a text on our Oakland Art Jewelers Talking text line. Sam said, Charlie, you know expansion in the NCAA tournament is eventually going to happen. It's just television and the NCAA looking for more revenue. Eventually, everybody will play money. Yeah, I mean, I could see it happening. I don't like it, and I don't have to like it. I think that what March Madness has right now is like the perfect, you know, college tournament. It is perfection right now. You don't need to mess with it. And that's what Calipari was saying. There's no reason to expand the field from 68 teams to something like 80. But it's probably going to happen, unfortunately. It's something to keep an eye on, especially as, you know, the tournament progresses and any kind of more news that pops up about it. I just don't see the reason for it other than money. Money is the only reason you can tell me that they would expand the NCAA tournament. But at the same time, you're messing with something that's great. You don't need to do that.
No, and you're talking about 80 teams. That's a pretty large expansion, not just a couple of squads. All of a sudden, you're adding to this already 64-team field. I'm definitely against it, too, but I wouldn't expect it to end up happening because, like you mentioned, the money talks, and with more of these games being played, the revenue gets generated, obviously. Happy to welcome in now to the radio huddle, Saints Safety. Jonathan Abram joining us after just inking his free agent deal with the Black and Gold. How's it going, Jonathan?
I'm pretty good. Thank you guys for having me.
Appreciate it. How's it feel to be back in New Orleans? I know you are a Mississippi State guy, so plenty of friends, family, I'm sure. Happy their trek to New Orleans is still a short one.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, super excited. You know, it's kind of like home. So happy to be home. You know, wouldn't prefer to go anywhere else. You know, so super excited about it. You know, coming back, being with the guys. You know, hopefully we can kind of get this thing going and you know finish it out the right way this upcoming year.
Yeah, you had an awesome ending to last season. Personally, getting to start the final two games. We see now Marcus May is gone from the squad. Do you have your eyes, I guess, starting next to Tyrann Mathieu for next season, I would imagine?
I mean, that's the goal. I mean, you know, just want to get out there and try to contribute and help my team any way possibly I can. You know, so if that's there, you know, wherever they ask me to line up, I'm going to be out there, you know, giving it my all. So, but definitely have my eyes set on it.
Jonathan, we talked with Ugo Amadi earlier on in the show, and I asked him the same question that I'm about to ask you. If you're looking at the Saints' roster strengths, you got to start with the secondary. The secondary has been outstanding for years now, and especially last year was great. So much talent back there in the defensive back room. And I was talking with Ugo about, you know, people always talk about iron sharpens iron, and that's typically, you know, defensive backs going against receivers. But at the same time, playing with so many great defensive backs, that has to elevate your play, right?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, being back there with a guy like Tyrann, you definitely have to be up to par, you know. Got to study, make sure you, you know, on your A game, you know, no missed assignments and, you know, giving it your all, you know. Because the Honey Badger, he's going to go down and probably one of, you know, the best DBs to ever play, you know. And then, you know, we have a really lot of talent on the outside, you know, with Adebo and Marshawn and Alante, so.
You look at the NFL draft coming up right around the corner. You are a former first-round pick. That was back in 2019. You still have, I would assume, fond memories of that day. What was draft day like for you back in 2019?
Oh, man, it was a blessing, you know, to hear my name called on that first day. So I got to spend it with my family. So, you know, that was the most important part. So, you know, It's been a pleasure, you know. But looking back on that day, it was probably one of the best days of my life.
And then going back to what I was mentioning earlier about playing with great DBs, you're also going against some really talented receivers in practice. And you know, training camp is a few months away. But just based off of what happened last offseason in training camp with the Saints in 2023, what's your impression of going against those guys in practice?
Oh man, you know those guys are fast. You know, Olave, Rasheed, you know. They got wheels, and we got talent on our roster pretty much from you know every position. But going out there against those guys every day, Mike T, Juwan, all of those guys, you know, you definitely have to be on it. And, you know, like you say, iron sharpens iron. So you know, being out there with those guys, they definitely make you better.
It was great to see the turnover takeaway numbers jump for you guys last season. What is you would you say the biggest key to be in that ball hawking, turnover hungry kind of defense?
Biggest thing is you know just making sure everybody does their job because you know opportunities come you know especially when you are where you're supposed to be because sometimes the ball will just sometimes hit you right in the face.
What would you say has been the biggest thing that stands out to you about being in Dennis Allen defense?
Biggest thing I would say is just you know it's a lot of turnover. You know we play a lot of man to man. You know we get bodies on body, but DA does a really good job of getting us ready and putting us in position to make plays. And so you know that's all you can ask for.
And then, Jonathan, your relationship with two guys that joined the Saints at the same time that you did in 2023, obviously defensive backs coach Marcus Robertson and then also defensive coordinator Joe Woods. What are your relationship with those two guys?
I mean, my relationship with M-Rob is amazing, you know. That's my guy. You know, he was the one who was, you know, who I met with pretty much early every single day throughout the course of the year to kind of keep me up to date and on par with everything. So, you know, a lot of credit goes to him, especially kind of how I helped finish out the season, you know, because he's giving me tips and techniques on pretty much everything and what to look for. And, you know, Joe Wood does an amazing job of just helping us, giving us all of the tools that we need to be successful. So,
yeah, and just your comfort level with –
I have a really good relationship with both of those.
You know, you mentioned Joe Woods, you mentioned Marcus Robertson, Dennis Allen. Just your comfort level with the coaching staff. This is now your second season with the Black and Gold. Just your comfort level in New Orleans.
I mean – essentially it's home, so you know, more than comfortable there. So comfortable with the coaching staff. I mean, I'm excited, you know. I'm excited to go in and go back, you know, get the second year under my belt. You know, excited to see what's to come for all of us.
Jonathan, for the Hoodads out there, what do you like to do in your spare time when you're not thinking about football?
I mean, I'm a country boy, so, you know, I'm messing with horses, things of that nature. You know, nothing too much, but, you know, just enjoying myself.
No, I did. You know what? Now that you mentioned that, the conference call yesterday with the New Orleans media, I heard you mention your ranch. You have a couple of horses, and you enjoy riding, I guess, huh?
Oh, yeah. And I have a ranch out in Summerall, Mississippi, in the process of opening up soon. So definitely one of my most fun things I do in my pastime, spending time with my animals, you know, loving on them, making sure, you know, they have everything they need, and riding. So, yeah. Going out to a couple of shows and things of that nature, so it's quite a thing. So I mean, I encourage other people to kind of look into it. So that's kind of what is the urge behind what I'm trying to create and open up here for my community.
And going back to my earlier comments, Jonathan, I just want to get your thoughts specifically on the secondary. And, I mean, they made a big step, as Steven mentioned earlier, with turnovers in 2023. That was kind of a big issue in 2022, despite having a really solid defense top to bottom. They made that big step in turnovers additions. But just your thoughts on how good the secondary can be in 2024 with all the talent back there.
I mean, I think the sky's the limit. You know, we have all of the talent in the room. You know, all thing we have to do is just kind of get together and just put in the work and put in the time to have a cohesive bond within our unit. And I think, you know, the sky's the limit. I think we could be the best secondary in the NFL, best defense in the NFL. So we just have to go out there and just do it.
Definitely appreciate the time, Jonathan. Have a good one, and congratulations on the new deal. Stay in New Orleans.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Jonathan.
That's Saints safety Jonathan Abram coming back for another year with the black and gold. It'll be interesting to see how he fits into the mix now. Obviously, like I said, Marcus May gone. You have a rookie in Jordan Howden that'll be back for his second season. And with Abram in the mix, I still think the Saints are going to be looking at possible safety options in the draft and maybe still in free agency. I'm not sure.
No, I mean, I think it's possible. I think that if you're looking at needs and positional value right now in this 2024 draft, you know, offensive line is probably the number one thing in the first round.
Right.
If not edge rusher, even with the Chase Young addition, I don't think that takes them out of the Jared Verse or Leiatu Latu sweepstakes or anything like that. And then the second round, I've been kind of preaching that they should take a receiver there. But if not, Tyler Newbin, the safety from Minnesota, could be an option. That's one of Mike's around the 40 rated players. So if he's there at 45, that could be an option if they want to go safety. He kind of described him as a taller, like Antoine Winfield Jr. So I think that's an interesting comp. But yeah, no, it's possible. I think, as you know, Jonathan was saying, the sky's the limit for the secondary for the Saints in 2024. They were really, really solid last year. They added the turnovers that they were missing, as I mentioned earlier. So yeah, I think they're going to be great. Again, the defensive back room is not what I'm worried about with the Saints team at all.
No, you mentioned obviously the first round of the draft and interested in a tackle possibly with that number 14 pick. I've seen a lot of the mock drafts, obviously. I think we've talked about it. What would you do, though? You got one of your top tackle prospects still on the board, but a guy like Brock Bowers falls to you in that spot.
I've heard some buzz about the Jets taking Bowers, unfortunately, at okay. 10. But if Bowers is there, I would love him. If Bowers is there, you have a couple options. I think you could either take him at 14, or you could trade down with the team that would love to have him. And I think that's always a possibility for them. They haven't done it. We talked with Jeff Duncan last week about
right.
it, and he said he highlighted Mickey Loomis's comments about how deep this draft is. I agree with him 100%. So if you want to pick up some more picks, trading down is not the worst option in the world. I think that's a potential player, Brock Bowers. If he falls to 14, some team's going to be interested in trading up to go get him.
And accumulating picks would be a great help. Day of the draft, obviously, they got the 14th overall pick, also have a second-round pick, but after that, there are no third- or fourth-round selections currently in New Orleans ammo clip.
Yeah, it's a win-win situation. You either get a game-changing level tight end, a top-10 prospect at pick 14, which is best player available, that's a great pick for them, or you trade down and get more picks, and you kind of go into that loaded draft class, like Loomis was saying, a really deep class, and get a lot of players.
We are taking a break. We'll be right back with more sports talk right after this. Want to hear you chime in? Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, 504-260-1870. What's going on, New Orleans? We'll be right back after this. Well, LSU baseball fans, get ready for the second weekend of an SEC series, this time against Florida, coming up this weekend. The Tigers will host the Gators at Alec Box Stadium. First game's Friday. We'll have first pitch for you, 7 o'clock. Pregame coverage at 6:30. Saturday's game is a first pitch at 6, and Sunday's broadcast is a 2 o'clock matchup. All that on WWLAMFM.com. And, of course, the free Odyssey app. Go Tigers! They got an 11-1 run rule victory over La Tech last night. It ended up stopping after 8 innings. And it was nice to see a little bounce back from this Bayou Bengals squad after a little bit of a rough weekend.
Yeah, a return to the norm, Steve. That's what it is. I mean, you're looking at what happened. They used 7 pitchers. It was effectively a bullpen game. None of the pitchers gave up more than one hit. They combined to give up 1 run earned over 8 innings. Yeah, I would say that was a return to the norm. After an anomaly at Starkville, where they gave up 33 runs on 41 hits. In the previous 11 games, Steve, I think they had given up a total of 34 runs. Ouch, so in those 3 games, 33. That's not what you've seen from the Tiger pitching staff. That's not their standard. And they returned to it last night against La Tech. We'll see what they do against Florida now this weekend.
I thought it was amusing. Jay Johnson, in one of the post-game clips I heard, was talking about he wasn't too happy about the run rule being in effect because he wanted to trot out 2 more pitchers in the 9th inning.
Yeah, get him some more work. I mean, he gave every single pitcher that pitched last night about 2 or 2 to 3 outs. So a lot of guys had a lot of work. Micah Bucknum was one that stood out.
Yeah.
You know, he had a bad performance, but Jay's mentioned that was on the back-to-back. So he's going to probably use him sparingly, but when he's used him, he's been pretty effective outside of that one showing. I think it was against Stony Brook.
Yeah, and you brought it up yesterday. No Cade Anderson, so it'll be interesting to see what the plan is for him this weekend.
We'll see.
Going to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. See Renee on the line. Want to talk about the Saints. What you got, Renee?
Yes, hey. It's Ray on Causeway. My question is, what are they going to do about the O-line? Every time the draft is nearby, Saints start getting safeties, they get running backs, you're talking about tight ends, etc. That's good and fine, but the problem of late has been with the O-line. Corey can't get anything off. What does Mr. Long have to say about that?
Yeah, it's a big issue, Renee, 100%.
But they have invested draft capital in the offensive line.
That's the issue. I mean, that's the issue. You have 4 first-round picks and a second-round pick on the offensive line, and they're still mediocre, which is why I think you kind of overhaul the coaching staff a little bit. You bring in John Benton as the offensive line coach, Rick Dennison as a run game coordinator, and then, you know, you probably look into getting an offensive lineman in the first pick again at 14. You just need to seal it up, and you have some more question marks. Pete's a free agent. We don't know where he's going to sign just yet. I know that he's supposedly having a visit with the Tennessee Titans.
Been awfully
he could
quiet.
Potentially come back, but as Deuce had mentioned earlier in the week, the price has to be right for a guy like Andres Pete. And, you know, you're not going to overpay to bring him back. And that maybe creates a little bit of a void at left tackle because Trevor Penning is the biggest question mark of all the offensive line. And that's including Ryan Ramczyk's knee issue, by the way. It seems like they're pretty confident with that. They restructured his deal, so they're confident in his recovery. And if he can be anywhere close to the player that he was a couple years ago, Steve, that's a really big deal for the Saints' offensive line. Eric McCoy is a Pro Bowl level center, so you know what you have there. Cesar Ruiz is a solid right guard, but, I mean, you kind of have – he's. I don't want to call him replacement level, but you know what you have there. Which your biggest question marks are on the left side of the offensive line. What's going to happen with Trevor Penning? Or are they going to kick him inside? Yeah. And then they do that, what's the left tackle situation looking like? So if you're looking at the draft and you want to see the Saints draft an offensive tackle with the 14th overall pick, you're hoping maybe a guy like Olu Fashanu from Penn State, the top left tackle behind Joe Alt, falls to them at pick 14, which could potentially happen, especially if there's a run on quarterbacks. You know, you mentioned
which
Brock Bowers,
expected,
a
right?
run on receivers as well, could potentially have one of those top linemen fall. But that's just something to keep an eye on. I agree 100%, Renee. I think offensive line is a huge issue.
No, when you keep hearing about all these, you know, draft experts talking about the potential of quarterbacks, you know, ruling the early rounds here, there's definitely huge potential for some of these top talents to drop to the Saints that aren't QBs.
And that's kind of what I think is if you're looking at the Saints at pick 14, it's a pretty good spot. Like, you could potentially have one of those top tackles fall to you. Joe Alt's not going to be there. You know that for a fact. Talisa Fuaga is probably going to be a top 10 pick. But after that, Olu Fashanu is a guy that you could keep an eye on for potentially falling. And if you don't want to go offensive tackle in the first round and you have all the faith in the world that this new coaching staff can fix Trevor Penning and he's the left tackle of the future, which we just haven't seen so far, then go edge or go Brock Bowers or trade back. There's your options. So. But I agree 100%, Renee. I think it's a huge issue.
We're going to step away from the news, be back with more sports talk after the break in the 7 o'clock hour, LSU Spring Ball Sound Bank. Stay tuned to hear the latest from Baton Rouge as the Tigers had practice today and the players spoke, and we'll play all that audio for you coming up on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.